What's happening, everybody? This is the Good Kraken Show. I am one of your hosts, Ernell Pearson, alongside the inevitable one, Devin Stanford.
Hey, what's cracking?
With popping and our brandest newest boy, Sledge 315. Yeah. How you doing, baby? How you doing?
Good. We rocking.
Ooh, yeah, it's a good day, guys. Boys, how's your guys' day going? Is it busy? Y'all be staying busy today?
Go. I got my workout in.
Yeah, and, I know.
Now we're here.
Yeah, dude. Sledge, I remember you just telling us a little bit ago that you had another show that you did prior to this, right?
Yeah, it was actually yesterday. It was on my channel. So I was actually hosting it, which is the first time I've done something like that. It was fun, though. I'm I'm going to be doing more of this stuff.
So very nice.
Back to back. I'm like, sweet. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, dude. Well, you've been keeping hella busy, huh? Like, way busy.
Yeah, like, I'll go to bed at 2 and be like, I got to be up in 4 hours. And I'm like, that's not good. I can't do that again. Next day, it does the same thing. I'm like, I said I wasn't going to do this, man.
Yeah. Hey, the life and pride of doing the thing, man. Doing the thing, dude. That's always good, man. So let me ask you something real quick before we kind of get into the Jiffy run here. So you play a lot of Rust. Played a lot of Rust up until being busy recently. But how long have you been on that? How long have you been down on the Rust game?
You're opening Pandora's box to me and bringing back the dark days of Sledge. I've been playing that game for like 4 or 5 years now, on and off. And it was like one of my number one most streamed games. And so I've seen it come from where it was to where it is now. And it's pretty crazy. So,
I've been in it
for sure.
Yeah, dude, that's good shit, man. Devin, have you played Rust?
I've definitely dabbled in it, but I've been more of a DayZ player myself. So I got a lot of that PvP experience in Rust, though. I did a lot of that with a few of my friends who, I don't know, have like 3,000 hours on that game.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's a fucking lobby.
Yeah.
That's so much. So Sledge is like, oh, yeah. 3,000. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Our boy, Logan, who actually he helps us with the show. He is a huge Rust player, though.
So he's big on the shits. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see you all. I see you guys. We got a ton of Sledge's family up in the chat. What's happening, guys? Hope y'all are having a good day too. But good thing we're not talking about Rust today, guys. We are talking about Outriders still working out the kinks, Konami continuing to tease all of us, and what it's like starting an AAPI owned business. Because this is the Good Kraken Podcast, a show for nerdy marginalized peoples, giving you the video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you want to hear every Tuesday and Saturday at 7 p.m. and 1 p.m. respectively. If you are watching live, you can submit questions and topics at tinyurl.com/GK submissions to be a part of the show. If you're having a good time so far, you can watch us record the show live and ad free by subscribing right here at twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. If you have Amazon Prime, you also have Twitch Prime. We would love for you to give that to us or our man here, Sledge, to help keep us pushing content out for all of you that are listening or watching at home. But if you've emptied your pockets for the latest and greatest in entertainment, that is totally fine. You can support us by going to our YouTube channel, by clicking the link in the About section of our Twitch page and clicking that beautiful bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken with an exclamation mark and leaving a review there. Boys, let's do a little bit of some housekeeping here real quick. We've got a few things that we want to talk about real fast. Our Good Kraken Mortal Kombat review episode is out now on YouTube and podcast services. That was our episode from Tuesday. You can check that out there if you want to hear us kind of rant and rave about all the weird bad takes people have had about the Mortal Kombat movie that just recently came out. Which, Sledge, did you watch that yet?
Yes. Yes, I did. I liked it. Some people were a little iffy. I liked it, though.
That's where we were, dude. We really liked it. There were just some people
compared
that were
the
like...
other ones?
Yeah, dude, exactly.
Hard 7. I'm like, whatever. Hard 7. Hard 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's what I gave it. A 7 out of 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I don't know why people were going in there just looking for fucking Dark Knight levels of entertainment. And I'm saying,
I know. You guys are fucking Christian Bale to do Mortal Kombat.
Out of this damn world.
That would be sick, though.
Oh, my God.
Someone was like, 3 out of 10. Was not impressed. I'm like, a 3? I was like, okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
you're a critic.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
You're a critic, dude. Like, I was like, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a better rating than that. So I was like, damn.
Okay. Great. Easy Evolution was better.
tough audience out here. Tough audience. Yeah. Oh, no.
That's yikes.
Fluffy. Come on, man. Come on, man. We also. We also have a gameplay stream VOD up on our Twitch page. Devin on Thursday night did a gameplay stream of the brand new Pokemon Snap that had just come out. It was lit. Did I say Thursday night? Friday night. Last night. It was lit. It was super, super, super fun. Go check that out. Mm-hmm. Devin plays for a good like hour and a half of mostly menus. It was mostly menus. Yeah. That game was definitely just menus. Just menus and tutorials. It was great. Tonight at 5 p.m., me and Devin are going to be doing a gameplay stream of our Resident Evil Village demo playthroughs. I will be doing the village and Devin will be doing the castle. We'll be showing all of you what the demo was like for anyone who has not played it yet and is interested in getting into Resident Evil Village. It's going to be a good time. Be here 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will be doing that later on this afternoon. And then finally, our good fellow, good Kraken and friend needs help. Wreck-It Raven, which is twitch.tv/WreckItRaven. Their livelihood is on the line, and we need you guys to give a hand by going to streamelements.com/WreckItRaven/tip. Raven's PC just recently started crapping out on her. We want to try to help out as much as we can. She's a full-time streamer. She needs a little bit of a hand. We want to try to push that direction. So please go there, help Raven out. They could use it. They're a wonderful fucking person. I promise you, they've been doing great things with charity and working with the communities and stuff. So with that said, y'all, let's go into our first segment here where we talk a little bit about nerdy news stuff. First off here, and we got some nightmares going on. Our first news story, Devin, I'm sorry. Our first news story is Outriders gets biggest patch to date with bug fixes, balance changes, and more. This comes from Eddie Makuch? We'll just say Makuch. That sounds about right. From GameSpot. It reads like this. The biggest patch to date for Outriders is now available, fixing a very long list of bugs that players have reported since launch. This patch does not, however, implement the long-awaited inventory restoration. Devin, I'm sorry. The restoration process for the inventory wipe issue was planned to release already, but it still needs more work from developer People Can Fly. Some quote-unquote edge cases recently came up, and this required the studio to retest the process quote-unquote several times over. As work continues on this restoration patch, People Can Fly separately worked on a general patch that is available now. The April 30th patch for Outriders fixes a number of crash scenarios and addresses numerous other issues and bugs, including a problem that could case the game to get stuck in the sign-in screen. The update also makes changes to weapon balance with AI snipers, now giving players more time to dodge their shots. Additionally, the amount of knockback from creatures in the Stargrave Expedition has been reduced. You guys can find the patch notes for this on the People Can Fly Reddit page. You can find it just by Googling it too as well. The reason I brought this story up is because our friend here, Devin, our co-host here, got stung by the Outriders inventory wipe bug when we were in the top peak of our grind of that game. Devin, how you doing? How you doing, babe? You know what I mean?
I'm still pained, honestly. Mm-hmm. I was researching this a little bit more. I did find that People Can Fly is going to be doing a grievance package for everybody this happened to recently, where they're essentially giving everybody god tier roles in the game.
Grievance package is a good way to put that.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. No, seriously, my character, everything I had, literally everything in my inventory got wiped. And that character can't even log into the game. It crashes you from the servers every time you try to log in with that character right now.
Oh, wow. It was a lot worse than it sounded.
Oh, yeah, it was bad. Yeah. It was bad. Like, and I could see the look on his face just flush away. Just all the happiness of his life of us playing that game for like 3 hours prior, just gone, like snapped away by Thanos. Like it was nuts. Like heart was broken for him. Now, Sledge, you obviously haven't played Outriders yet. You haven't really jumped on that game yet. Have you ever had a game breaking bug like hit you like this hard?
Not off the top of my head, But I mean, when you say game breaking, I know the feeling because I'll play Rust with going back to that. Like, all right, log off, wake up next morning, everything's gone.
Yep.
Whole building is just destroyed, and you're like, what? And you got like, you know, a bunch of people putting a bunch of hours in, you text your friends that are at work and be like, it's gone. Like, what? It's all just gone. And that's all you can say. And then your day is ruined, you know? So I know the feelings. When you said that, I was like, oh, that sounds really bad. And then you're like, the character can't even log in. I'm like, that's even worse, dude.
Yeah.
There's nothing to pick up there.
You start cold
that's,
sweating.
That's where I relate.
Yeah, I had to start completely over.
Yeah, it's so bad, man. It's so fucking bad. Like, oh, I went out of my way and made a new character so I could play with them and kind of go through the grind as well too. But it's just like it wasn't the same for him. It changed him fundamentally as a human being.
Like, I did this. I was already here. We've done this before. This is already accomplished.
Exactly.
Oh, dude, we sunk like what 30 hours in at that point?
I wouldn't say 30. Maybe like. 20? Honestly, maybe like
29.
Maybe like 18 hours.
Okay. Fair enough. We played a bit. Yeah. We played a bit over the weekend, and it was a big grind. But my character's fine. I have two characters. They're lit, dude. Look, they're good characters, man. I'm super stoked.
I have two characters too, but I can only use one.
Oh my gosh! How they messed that up? Did they even explain how it happened?
It's just a bug that they're having that kind of overlapped from the demo that they had put out. Aww. It was a bug that was still resonant there. Mm-hmm. It rolled over and it was a big mess. I mean, it's a fun game and they've been doing a really good job of like communicating a whole bunch of stuff to like help people as much as they possibly can. They've been handling it really, really well, surprisingly well compared to things like it's Xander in the chat mentioned Cyberpunk. Yikes. Yeah. Big yikes out here. But yeah, they've been handling it surprisingly well. I'm sure they will find out some way to give Devin a grievance package. You know, and so it's gonna be great when we get there. Sledge, do you plan on playing the game at all?
I don't know. My problem with playing new games is I get invested and then I get sucked in and I can't get anything done. I just got Snap. And like I was, you know, like Nintendo games, those prioritize over any other titles. And then other than that, it's multiplayer. Because it's like, I don't have to worry about the grind. I can just play for a few games and then get off, you know? Because like 18 hours, I'm like, yeah, if I get into that world again, man, it's over. It'd be like, where'd Sledge go? Oh, he's gone, dude. He's gone. He's plugged away.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
It looked good, though. On the real. Because I know the game. But yeah, I don't know if I'm going to jump on it or not.
It's fun, man. It's fun, but it definitely was a time sink. Being like a looter shooter sort of game, me and Devin are pretty decent sized fans of games like that. And even we were kind of like, yo, we're playing this a lot. There's a lot of gameplay that we're putting into this. It's a big sink. So if you're busy, like all three of us are, it might not be a good thing to just like sit down and like focus on for too long before you're like, I got shit to do. But whenever they do come out with the grievance packages, I'm sure me and Devin will play for a little bit longer. And Sledge, if you do decide on, just let us know. We can help you walk through it.
I will.
In the meantime, let's go on to our second story here. Devin, do you want to take this one on for me, baby? I know that this is right up your alley.
Yeah. So there was a tweet on Konami's page and in quotes, due to timing, we will not be ready to present at E3 this year. We want to reassure our fans that we are in deep development on a number of key projects. So please stay tuned for some updates in the coming months. While we are not participating this year, we have great respect for the ESA and know that 2021 will be a great success. We will continue to support the ESA and wish the best to all participants at this year's show. End quote. All right. They have a bunch of dormant IPs right now.
Mm-hmm.
They got Castlevania.
Yep.
They got Silent Hill.
Mm.
They got Metal Gear.
Ugh.
Just to name the big three. I think it's going to be a new Silent Hill, and I think we're going to get a new Castlevania. That's what I'm thinking.
Are you into those, Sledge? Does that move the needle for you at all, dude?
Not, you know, it's like those. It's weird because I just was so like, now you like ask me these questions. I'm like, man, I was really just a Nintendo kid because like those games have been around, you know, for a while. And it's so I'm over here in the darkness. Sorry.
That's okay. It'll come back.
Yeah, back. So, yeah, no, I mean, I know titles. I played them at friends' houses, but I never expanded myself. It's again like Resident Evil. How many of them are out there? How many titles?
10? 10? Maybe more than, like, more than that, including some of the side ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, yo, Final Fantasy 2, you're right. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of titles here. I'm like, where do I even start? And people are like, this is a good one. This is a good one. So no, I haven't, but I know the titles. So
yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, even being like a Nintendo dude, like you can kind of like resonate with some of the stuff that's going on here as well, where it's like, there's a lot of big dormant sleeper titles coming from Nintendo that they've been sitting on for a little while that we can definitely be ready for. The interesting thing about Konami in this situation here is that a lot of us have been sort of low-key talking about the potential of Konami and Hideo Kojima getting back together, which is the director from the Metal Gear Solid games and currently the newest director for Kojima Productions of Death Stranding. And there is some really, really, really sick shit that Kojima has a real bad habit of teasing all of us with all the time. Like he'll do like some stupid like 30-second video, and in the background there'll be like a picture of like, I don't know, Will Ferrell, and it's some kind of fucking looped up secret that Will Ferrell is gonna be voice acting in the next production that he's working on. It's wild. I love it. Right. Not really. Of course he's not actually working with Will Ferrell. I know, right? Yeah.
I mean, he did get Mads Mikkelsen and why am I forgetting his name? Oh my gosh.
Mark Wahlberg.
No, not Mark Wahlberg.
The Rock.
The Rock. Yeah.
Anyways, he's already
Gary Busey. As Carnage. Yeah, because that's happening.
He's proven that he loves to work with A-list actors for his A-list style games, you know. So it's cool to see that. There's also that rumor that Microsoft might be buying Konami and possibly working with Kojima too. So yeah, who knows?
Something for the future.
I know, man. Sledge, did you? Okay, so I know, I get it. You're a Nintendo dude for sure. Are you into fighting games at all?
Fighting games, Smash Bros.
Smash Bros. Yeah.
Shocker.
Of course, dude.
Yeah. A little Street Fighter growing up too, off the Nintendo. If it was on Nintendo, I'm probably gonna touch it at some point, right? So So those ones. Mortal Kombat a little bit. I had Mortal Kombat 11. I played through it, enjoyed it, but like, obviously, there's people that are just, and you know, custom boards they take to their friend's house and they play. And I'm like, okay, I was like, this is right. Yeah. It's a little too serious for me. You know?
So the reason I ask is because Konami also has a potential chance to be talking about doing some more fighting game stuff. I read an article that was sort of loosely talking about that. Oh, sweet. And a Konami fighting game would be super sick to fucking have. I wish it was. We're looking at another Capcom versus Marvel sort of thing here because I love those games. But I mean, realistically, it could be like a new IP, something like that. That'd be fucking dope. That'd be too. Cool. That'd be cool. Now, Devin has been kind of like in the talks of Konami potentially getting bought out by people. That's kind of the tinfoil hat that he's been wearing for a little while here. You want to give us a quick rundown on that, Devin? What were your thoughts around that?
Well, it's been proven that Microsoft is looking for more studios and publishers to acquire just to expand their whole to expand their Game Pass library, really. Well, they're looking specifically for a Japanese studio right now. So they've been talking about either Konami or Sega really being the big two that they might be purchasing. So, and then just hearing the rumors about them possibly working with Kojima, it would just make more sense to me that they're going to try and secure that Metal Gear IP and have Kojima work on it, but they have to acquire it from Konami, essentially.
Here's the deal, Sledge. I'm not sold on it. I think he's full of shit. I think this guy, Devin, over here on the left side is just completely full of fucking shit. You know what I mean?
How much did he read into it, though? You know what I mean? Because he's like new stuff on what he's talking about. And I was like, damn, he did more research than I would have.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I get it. Like, Kojima is a big name. I want another Kojima Metal Gear. I really do. I get it. I just don't fucking see it, boys. I don't see it. You know what I mean? Like, I think he was
supposed to do Silent Hills.
So. He was supposed to do Silent Hills, but he's not now. You know what I mean? We'll see. Devin, we'll put a pizza bet on it. You know what I mean? We'll put a pizza beer.
If I'm even half right and Kojima just works with Microsoft, I still get pizza.
You get a slice of pizza. How about
a slice?
And I'll put a little.
That's like a half
a little smooch on it. You know, I'll just like right on the pepperoni for you, and it'll be like we're making love. We're attached.
Oh my god.
My soul. Anyways, we're going to move into our next news story here. Sorry, Sledge. Welcome to the show, dude.
I'm sandwiched right in the middle of these two on the call.
Oh, man. On the call? Thankfully not on the actual show because yeah, I'm in between you guys, and that's right where I want to be. Our next news story talks a little bit about our man, Chadwick Boseman, who unfortunately passed away. But this next one, it's Black Panther 2 was reshaped to respect Chadwick Boseman's death. This comes from Nadira Goff from Screen Rant. I did condense this a little bit because it was a bit of a big read, but I want to kind of get the key things in here. In a recent interview, actress Lupita Nyong'o opened up about the realities of creating Black Panther 2 in the wake of death of leading actor Chadwick Boseman, who portrayed the Black Panther, aka King T'Challa of Wakanda. In the first film, died last year at the age of 43 from colon cancer. The sequel to Black Panther has been highly anticipated since the film's first release, but Boseman's untimely death has brought up many questions about the state of the future film. Boseman's co-star and love interest in Black Panther Academy Award winning actress Lupita Nyong'o revealed that the sequel was reimagined to properly address a world without T'Challa and without Chadwick Boseman. In the interview, Nyong'o explains that filming the sequel will be incredibly difficult for her because she is still immensely grieving over Boseman's passing. She goes on to briefly mention the future of the Black Panther sequel, explaining that Coogler made the right approach. Nyong'o talks about how Coogler reshaped the entire second movie to properly address Boseman's passing and to respect and honor the incredible person and talent that he was. Quote, but at the same time, we have a leader in Ryan who feels very much like we do, who feels the loss in a very, very real way as well. And his idea, the way which he has reshaped the second movie, is so respectful of the loss we've all experienced as a cast and as a world. So it feels spiritually and emotionally correct to do this. And hopefully what I do look forward to is getting back together and honoring what he started with us and holding his light through it, because he left us a lot of light that we're still going to be bathing in. I know that for sure. End quote. Sledge, are you a Marvel fan?
Yeah, that I am. That I am.
Cool. Perfect. So all of us have been affected by the passing of the late Chadwick Boseman in one way or another. Rest in peace to the king, him fucking self, and Wakanda forever on that end. It's nice because I'm sure all of us as MCU fans have had a little bit of concern on how they're going to follow up Black Panther now that Chadwick Boseman has unfortunately passed away. It's cool. This is cool. I feel like having the cast being a part of, like, feeling like they're doing the sequel justice is a really good direction to have. Devin, I know that Black Panther was just as close to you as it was close to me. How are you sitting on this, dude?
I mean, that was one of the things I thought about, you know, moving forward after, you know, Chadwick passed. I had a really hard time thinking about how they were going to do it, but his sister Shuri ends up becoming Black Panther anyways. So it's really good to hear that they're going to be doing him justice, not only just, you know, his character, but also his real life passing. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to see what it'll be, because they've always been really good with the Marvel movies and the Marvel content lately and really addressing issues and, you know, emotional feeling. So I'm actually looking forward to it a lot.
Yeah. Good shit, man. Sledge, how are you sitting on this, dude?
You know, I watched the first one. It was really, really good. And then he had a big part, obviously, in Avengers. So I always liked his character. And I don't know. I'm a Carolina Panthers fan. So Black Panther got tied in. And it was actually this little thing I had. I don't even know where I got it from, like a yard sale or something. And it was literally the Black Panther was on it. But it was like a collab between the Carolina Panthers and the Black Panther. And I always thought it was really, really cool. Yeah, it was like this really cool illustration. That's all it was. It was like a little thing that you like put on your desk or you could hang up on a wall. And I had, I don't know what happened to it. I'll have to find it sometime and show it to you.
But, yeah,
had the Panthers logo in the corner, and then it had like a jungle scene and they had the Black Panther on it. And I'm like, this guy's really cool. I didn't really know what it was. And then, you know, as Marvel's developed, all these like heroes keep dropping left and right. And I don't read the comics. So I just watch the movies. Keep throwing them. But they brought that one up. His character design and all that was really, really cool. So, you know, I was looking forward to the second one, and then you hear what goes on with him. It was kind of through everyone, but he kept that quiet, right? Like, you guys didn't know about it until they announced it, right? That he had colon cancer.
Yep.
So correct. It kind of threw everyone by shock, and, you know, I give him a lot of respect because I read some articles that he was going through it while he was acting all this time for those movies, right? Yeah. So I'm just like, I get, you know, put yourself in that shoe for a second. Like, you don't even know what your outcome is going to be in life, but you're still like going through with this for for, you know, social reasons, for the movie reason, for fan reasons, for everything, you know what I mean? And it goes way past the lifetime. And so it's sad to hear, but yeah, it sounds like they're doing justice. And I read a little bit on that article as well before the sit down. So I hope it pans out well.
Yeah, yeah, me too, man. It's awesome. Like you mentioned, Marvel hits so much deeper than just being a film or comic book property, and so it's nice that they're trying to make sure that they tread these waters lightly because of something as pivotal as this when it comes to Black Panther and the lives of the of Black people. It's they have to do it justice. They have to do it justice. Just like with us, you know, talking about things like Shang-Chi, they have to do that justice. Because right. Then they have dudes like me and Sludge here that are super pissed off because they botched another Asian culture fucking right. IP. And it's like, you know, we don't want that to fucking happen for any person of color community whatsoever. Right. And so now also with that said, can we talk about how fucking hype Shang-Chi looks? Can we talk about that?
Oh, yeah.
You know what's funny? Before we even talk about the hype about it, I kept joking, right? In my dad's office, because I'm the only Asian guy in my neighborhood because it's upstate New York. For and sure. I'm like, where is the Asian Marvel hero? I was like, anyone got an answer? And they're like, what is it? Doctor Strange, they're like his sidekick. I'm like, that's a sidekick. I'm like, yeah. I'm talking Maine. You know, I'm like, where's our movie? And literally a week later it came out. I'm like, oh shit, there it is. I was like, wow. Yeah. I was like, that's awesome. Yeah.
And then someone in a window is like, shut the fuck up because you're in New York, right. You know? Right.
You know, it was just funny. And I was like, whoa, when I watched the trailer. It looks really cool. A lot of Asian cast members in there. So I'll put some light on them. I hope that for them it works out, like for their future too. If it goes well here, you might see them somewhere else. So I'm hyped for it.
It's going to be big hype, dude. I am way fucking stoked on that. Let's kind of move into our next segment here. Devin, this is one you threw my direction. Throw it fucking down, my man.
Oh, yeah. So Microsoft confirms Halo Infinite will have crossplay on Xbox and PC. This comes from Mel Ramsey at GG Recon. Halo Infinite will support crossplay and cross progression when it launches later this 2021. Matt Booty, head of Xbox Game Studios, explained what? You've never heard his name before?
Fuck! I was hoping I could hold it in. Fuck! I'm sorry, Matt. I'm sorry, Matt. If you end up listening to our podcast, I'm so fucking sorry, dude. My God.
He's a great guy, okay?
He is. He's a good dude. But his last name's Booty. Yeah, it's you know, I can't help it, all right? I'm a human being. A human being is going to think that's funny. Dude.
He's already got the booty. Don't worry about it.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And I want to. All continue, right. Devin. Continue.
All right. Matt Booty, head of Xbox Game Studios, explained exactly what they've been up to in a blog on an official Xbox site. He said, and I quote, "A big part of our role as a platform holder and a game publisher is to connect players with games no matter where they play. Over the last 18 months, we've launched games on PC like Age of Empires 2, and three Director's Edition, I believe, and Gears of War Tactics, Wasteland 3, Minecraft Dungeons, and Microsoft Flight Simulator, many of which topped the Steam charts at launch. We're looking forward to delivering more PC content, including Age of Empires 4 later this year, whether we are new genres for established franchises, the next iteration of a classic favorite, or the evolution of a storied PC brand. We're making games that PC players love to play." We also quote, "We know many of you play across more than just your PC, including on Xbox and mobile. That's why we're excited to announce Halo Infinite will support multiplayer crossplay and cross progression when it releases later this year. That means if you're playing on PC, you can play with your friends on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S. It also means that multiplayer customization and progress will follow across all platforms." Man, it's hard to say Series X and S. Like, back to back. Like, I love the consoles, but damn. All right. Concluding, he said, "We're also using the cloud to make console gaming accessible on even more PCs. While not meant to replace native PC gaming, Xbox Cloud Gaming allows Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members to play over 100 console games on a wide range of computers, from lower spec entry-level machines to older devices that otherwise couldn't handle games that require more power." That's pretty cool. The fact that they're making xCloud available to everybody, like you can just pop up like a 10-year-old Chromebook, and as long as you have a solid internet connection with a browser, you can still play all those games.
That's cool. So, Sledge,
I like that.
Are you on the Halo train? Are you on that Halo train?
I am. Mm-hmm. Not as much as some of my boys were, because I went Call of Duty, like I said, in high school. Some of them played Call of Duty as well, but they got sucked into Halo. And Halo 3 was the one that I feel like a lot of people resonate with more so, but that's the one that got me hooked. I never actually owned the game, which is wild, because you could do multiplayer online back then, right? Am I wrong?
Yes, I would go
to my boy's place, which I was hanging every weekend anyways, playing Call of Duty during the week and then playing it with him. So I never bought the game. And I never bought any of the titles because they were the big fans, and they'd hand it to me afterwards, and I'd play the story on my own. So I never actually owned one. But the only thing that it drives me nuts about him is shoot, 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 punch. I always am like, oh, that's how he's dead? It's like, not the bullet. Yeah. Just the gun in his face. That part always got me.
I will say this. I'm pretty excited with some of the travel movement that you actually get in the next one that's coming out, because they're giving you a freaking grapple hook.
Oh, no. Shit, are they really?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. You get a grapple hook.
I haven't kept up with these updates, so this is all new to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Multiplayer is going to be free to play, and it's cross play, and it's cross progression.
Which is cool. So it's
just making it available to everybody, essentially. Right. They're pretty much handing you this game, because that's all people play who.
it's going to be lit, dude. I've never been a massive Halo fan myself. Like, I have played, don't get me wrong, like, I've always, just like Sledge, like, I was playing with my homeboys and stuff, and I bought Halo 1 on PC. That was, like, one of the only PC games, really, that I had, like, played, besides, like, Age of Empires, like, The Sims and shit. Mm-hmm. But Halo 1 was kind of the only PC game that I really, really played, and then all of my, rest of my experience with Halo 2 and Halo 3 and, like, all, everything following up after that has always been at my homie's house doing couch co-op. And like online multiplayer and stuff. And so it was like most of my experience was that. And now just hearing all this news about like Halo multiplayer being new, like free to play and like being cross platform and stuff, I am fucking sold. I am so damn sold on this shit, dude. And like how much a better way to make Halo more hype than giving us like a free online multiplayer that people are just going to eat up all day long with that drop?
Oh, yeah.
All day long. Oh, yeah. The amount of people that are going to be hopping on that game is going to be, no pun intended, game changing. It's going to be out of this fucking world, man. Like, all the people that are hype on, like, Apex and Warzone and stuff like that. Like, I get it. They're good games. They're fun games. Mm-hmm. But imagine what's going to happen when Halo Infinite multiplayer drops, dude.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I really want to see is how they're going to compete with Warzone and Apex and Fortnite, because you know that they're going to have to come out with something that's similar to a VR eventually. Actually, the campaign is an open world as well. Mm-hmm. So it already has a big enough map established to do something like that.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts, dude. Now here, I have to push back on you. Push back on this, because I think that they don't have to do shit. I think that it's Halo. It's one of the most popular franchises in video game fucking history. They could honestly just make it look good, give us some fun content, and just drop the fuck out of it, and people will just bury themselves like a bunch of fucking leeches onto that, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's cool, the idea that you have on, like, them pushing for VR to be the next step of, like, the Halo world, so to speak, is definitely a direction that they're going to go to. I just don't think that they need to.
Yeah, I wouldn't say need to, but maybe to keep that multiplayer base, because if it is going to be free to play as well, like, they need to have that attraction, you know, because as we've seen with Call of Duty, you know, team deathmatch and all that stuff only goes so far, where Warzone has totally taken over that whole multiplayer avenue for Call of Duty.
Yeah,
you know, so we already kind of saw it happen for one franchise already. You know, it's very possible that they're probably going to put something like that, because Battlefield's doing it too. You know, they did that Firestorm with Battlefield 5, and they're going to be coming out with a new one on Battlefield 6. So,
and on that, like, I think that it's also good to have these VRs in. I mean, they have the funding, obviously. It's freaking Bungie, they're huge. So right, right. You might as well do it one for two reasons, because it's good to have the variety for your players to stay in your game. And they're not leaving to be like, oh, man, I'm worn out from, like you're saying, like a team deathmatch type of feel to let's go play Warzone now, because Halo doesn't have their own VR. If I was a company, they're gonna be like, well, why don't we just make our own thing very similar to that? So they're still on the Halo title and they're still with us here. Yeah. And if they, you know, if they cross correlate the like leveling of things that they do, like gun leveling or whatever they decide to do. With that progression they've been talking about, that'll also be a push, because people do get burned out from just multiplayer over and over and over.
You know,
something long, like a 30-minute game. So it's, it's weird, but
Not only that, too, but BRs are like the top of the esports space, unless you're playing Dota or League of Legends, you know what I mean? But like they are, that's like the top tier of first-person shooter multiplayer right now, or third-person for that matter. So I think it would be really smart for them to implement something like that.
Do you think they're going to do a battle royale on this?
I do. If it's not on launch, it'll be within 6 months of launch.
Okay.
Yeah, Modern Warfare took a while on theirs, too. Yeah. They like dropped their game and they kept it hushed for almost like a year, I think. And everyone knew what it was. Like, oh, we're doing something. We're like, we all know what you're doing. And then they're like, they dropped it. And it's now one of the best BRs, in my opinion. Like, I don't hear as many people be like, oh, I'm on the Fortnite grind anymore. It's a lot of Warzone. Plus, all the creators moved. You know, so what happens with Halo? You talk about people like Ninja, who his foundation is Halo, right? So is he going to move out of the BR realm and jump in here and then start streaming that heavily? And then everyone else is going to move? You know, I don't know. It's kind of exciting, though.
There's a lot. There's a lot that could happen. I mean, another big part of it, too, is just the nostalgia factor. Even like it's Xander here in the chat says, it's like they're building on that couch co-op nostalgia and want people to be able to hop on Halo with their buds like back in the day. And that's 100% true, dude, because it's like things like that is what makes the IP, the name, the brand of Halo so big. That's going to make it make such a difference for them when they drop. Like, you know, like Sledge was saying, there's going to be streamers that have not really played Halo multiplayer for a fucking minute, and they're gonna see this and they're gonna want to fucking hop on it, and it's gonna make all of their following, all of their fans, all of their audience, all their friends, everyone want to hop on that, and it's gonna blow the hell up. It's gonna blow the gaming world on its feet, at least for a little while, you know, at least for a little while.
And to add on that, if you don't have an Xbox, if you don't have a gaming PC, if you don't even have a computer or anything, but if you have an iPad or a phone, you can just do xCloud and still be able to play that game with your friends. I've tested it before. You just hook up to a controller, you know, you got that little bracket, and I played Halo 5 multiplayer that way, and it worked perfectly fine.
That xCloud gaming shit, man. It's that's we're talking game changers here. That's it. Microsoft is just hitting us with all of the goodies, dude. I'm wasted
stocks.
On it.
Yeah, buy the stocks now.
Yeah.
They go, oh, Sony, you got exclusives. We're in everybody's pocket now.
Yeah. Oh, right, dude.
They're becoming like Apple for gaming. It's kind of crazy, right?
Ooh, hey, that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. Because, I mean, that's kind of the direction that they're fucking going, isn't it?
Right. Accessibility everywhere. And the only reason they're not working with Sony is because Sony's like, no.
So Sony just notoriously does not play well with others. It fucking breaks my heart, honestly. Weird. Like, because Sony could totally do all this. They could fucking do all this.
Did you guys know that Sony used to be they were developing a disc drive for my Nintendo back in the day?
Yes,
that's
why Nintendo is its own thing. Yep, they were both the same company with the same people in it. All the history of Nintendo is very interesting. I don't know much about the Sony side of it.
Yeah.
But Nintendo side of it, it's all connected. It's all in Japan. That's the thing with it. So it's weird. Yep.
The DS1 was supposed to be a Nintendo console.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, did you know that the head of Xbox Game Studios' last name is Booty? Can you fucking believe that, dude? Can you believe that? Chat, can you fucking believe that Matt Booty's last name is Booty? Bro, I cannot believe this shit. I did not wake up this morning just needing this realization. You know what I mean? I did not. I woke up, got my big morning stretch, drank my morning cup of coffee, and I was not at all prepared for Matt Booty to come up in my life today. I was really not. Let's kind of speak. You know what? Segue. Bad segue, but we're doing it. We're talking more booty, guys. Our next segment is going to be sort of our hands-on experience segment. I want to kind of move into talking with Sledge a little bit, because I know that you've been real busy. I know that you've been way fucking busy here, but have you had any time to play or watch anything that you think would be good for the chat to kind of check out?
When you said that earlier, I thought of something, and I don't watch a lot of TV. I really don't have time. I'm a big anime guy, but I stretched a little bit away from it this time around. And the thing I'm going to suggest isn't anime, because you hear people online like, oh, Jujutsu Kaisen, you know, Demon Slayer. I'm like, but everyone's hearing about that, right? So why talk about it? You know, I mean, it's already been heard. Another one that's actually a derivative of manga is Alice in Borderland. It's not like new, but it's on Netflix and it's good. It is
I've watched that. Yeah, I have watched that actually. It is good.
It's good. It pulled me in, and the first episode was a little confused, but then I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And they don't fool around. They don't fool around with like the deaths and stuff. Like, you get into it and you're like, didn't see that coming. So
I have not watched another season.
Yeah. I think they're like 40 minute episodes, maybe like 8 or 9 of them. But I was like, the way it was written and the way it was, I was like, this has gotta be like a manga. And I looked it up, I'm like, yup. It's a manga. I was like, they decided to go this way with it, you know, instead of animating it. They were like, let's do like a, you know, real live action almost. So it's good. It's good. That's what I suggest. But in terms of games, I would say Pokemon Snap, but it's still in the plastic. So that's not the only thing that I would say in terms of new. But I do want to give some shout outs to one of my boys. The name of the game is Goose Goose Duck. It's free on Steam. It's a beta was just released, and it is like Among Us 2.0, 16 players, in-game proximity. You can hide your code on screen and you can copy it direct without the audience seeing it and joining your lobby.
Okay.
So it's got 2 maps currently, and it's a 4-to-5-man team, and they got huge funding and they just released it and they did awesome. So check it out. That's the only thing I can say for games, but I haven't even played it yet, but I do shout it out.
Okay. I just downloaded it. I just started the download.
Jesus Christ. You're so fast on this shit.
It's got Twitch drops too. So if you, I don't know if you can stream it that way, but if you watch, you have to look into it a little bit. If you watch, you can get literal currency for the apparel and the game or the cosmetics. Among Us kind of didn't do as much for that. So I thought they thought outside the box. So, yep, those are my suggestions.
Right, for sure. Okay, cool, man. Oh, yeah. Let me actually ask you real quick too. What is your all-time favorite game? Can we hit you with that? Real quick? Do you have one that just like that's your one, you know?
You know, it's funny because it's like replay value of it after a while is not like there, and it goes through classics, you know. And it's funny because my buddy actually sat down and goes, you know, like, what's like one of your best gaming moments and stuff in life? That's a hard question to answer when you've been playing for 20 plus years, you know. I'll always say like Call of Duty was good and it had a place in my heart, and like I put hours upon hours in like in high school on that, you know. But Nintendo roots again, you know, Pokemon Silver, Pokemon Gold, those titles were the ones that hit the heaviest for me, and I go back and there's a nostalgia there. And, you know, once you beat it and you catch everything. But like, if you were to hand me one right now and be like, play, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to give this a few hours today and just appreciate this again. You know, it's like, it brings back that memory. So that's like the ultimate game. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be like, yo, go play it. It's great to someone right now. They'd be like, this is a game from the 90s, dude, or, you know, early 2000s. But for me, yeah, that's the one that holds true.
Okay. All right. Sick, dude. Devin, what have you been playing or watching, dude? What's your one you want to talk about today?
So I'll start with what I've been watching. I actually started watching the DCEU Titans on HBO Max. I like it because it's an alternate universe of what they've been doing with the movies, you know. But it's way more graphic, way more dark and adult themed. You know, it's pretty much the story of how the Titans happen and how Robin becomes Nightwing and all that. And it's got a lot of good choreography in it, and the effects actually aren't bad. I'm on like episode 7 now, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And it even has a little bit of crossover with the Doom Patrol show as well, Brendan Fraser's in that, by the way. So
holy shit, Brendan Fraser's back?
Yeah.
He's back? Oh wow.
Yeah, he's in Doom Patrol. I forgot the name of the character, but he's a robot, essentially.
Oh, dude, that's so fucking cool, man. I love Brendan Fraser, dude.
Yeah.
Like I'm glad. I hope he finds success with that because he deserves it, dude. That guy's gone through some shit. Like, he definitely deserves it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean? What kind of shit has he gone through? I don't even know about it.
Brendan Fraser fell off the face of the planet because of some unfortunate sexual assault stuff that had happened to him.
Oh.
Way back. That's why he fell out and was kind of going through the ringer for a little while. And so I'm super stoked to see him back and see him kicking ass in whatever way that he needs to, because
didn't someone steal a bunch of money or something from him too, like an accountant a brother?
He's gone through so much shit, yeah. Man, so much shit. Oh, dude, God. Like God, man, yeah. Like the poor fucking guy, like, but yeah, dude, I hope he comes back and starts whooping ass. Yeah. I'd love to see him in another Mummy movie. That'd be fucking great, dude.
The Jungle too.
Yeah, dude. And Encino Man, give us Encino Man reboot. Let's fucking go. Dude.
All right, so moving on to what I've been playing, I actually started playing this game called Second Extinction. It seems like a more of an indie style game, but it just came out in early access on Game Pass for PC and console, and it's like Left 4 Dead meets Turok. Like, okay. Waves of dinosaurs, like all different kinds, like raptors, T-Rexes, Triceratops, like all sorts of shit. And there's like a mode where you can run around this island like a free roam with up to three people, and you can do like little, like kind of like Ubisoft Far Cry style like things where you clear out camps and do like little missions and zones and stuff, or there's actual like storyline quests and missions and stuff. It's very you know, go to point A to B to C and stuff, but it's fun. It's a good time waster.
Is it is it FPS or third person?
Yeah, it's first person. The gameplay is very similar to Apex, where you have a ping system. You have two abilities. You get a regular ability and like an ultimate ability. And, you know, there's grenades, stem packs, different kinds of weapons and stuff. Gatling guns, grenade launchers, auto rifles, shotgun, sniper, you name it, dude. And it's really gory.
Get this into Jurassic World, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, essentially that's what it is. You're on Jurassic Park, dude. And you have to do a second extinction because the dinosaurs took over the planet. Yeah.
Okay, I see the play in that title now. Yeah. That's fucking rad, dude. I'll play that with you because that sounds cool, dude.
We should stream it sometime. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. Other than that, I played a little bit more Nier Automata and a little bit more Outer Worlds, but I just kind of keep hopping between the games, you know, just slowly progressing.
Good shit, man. Good shit. Well, I unfortunately haven't really been able to play too much because I've been so busy recently, just kind of taking care of everything in the show and then kind of trying to like slowly make my way through Resident Evil 7 so I can justify playing Resident Evil 8 Village. But my main thing that I want to talk about here, actually two things that I've watched. One is I watched the brand new Michael B. Jordan movie on Amazon called Without Remorse. And I don't want to talk about it. I really do not want to talk about this fucking movie, guys. It's so bad.
Oh no.
It's bad? So bad. I'm like, oh, okay, God. Look, like it's a pretty basic action hero revenge story. The guy who's in the military, his pregnant wife gets killed and he goes out to get revenge for it. You know what I mean? And it's got a bunch of different, like, you know, Americanized propaganda shit that's going on in the story, whatever. It's a Tom Clancy story. That's kind of all really that you need to know. And it's Michael B. Jordan just doesn't make a good action hero. You know what I mean? He just doesn't feel action hero. You know, like there's something about it that just doesn't hit me right. But I mean, it was
villain in Black Panther, though, right?
Yeah, no, which is surprising.
Guy, good villain.
Yeah, good villain, bad hero, bad acting. Right, that's where we need to be. You know what I mean? No, he's it's a fun movie, but it's just so just, if you're not into like military movies, you're not gonna find any fucking interest in this whatsoever.
That's Tom Clancy. That's an actual Tom Clancy. You're relating it to something like that.
It's Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. It is a Tom Clancy like property. So, So I mean, like, if you guys are into that thing, watch it. If you're not even quite put into military action hero shit, don't even fucking bother. Don't bother. Michael B. Jordan is a beautiful ass man. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Okay. I promise you. Like my sister like was just being horny as fuck about it. It was like, I want to watch it. I'm like, get out of here. Get out of here. I don't want this shit.
To watch it.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Oh God.
Demon. Demon. Peasant. Peasantry. Anyways. I love my sister. I'm sorry. Not really. Anyways, so the other thing that I actually want to talk about is the season finale of Injustice hit the other day. Invincible. Or not Injustice. Invincible. My bad. The game, yeah, the game Injustice came. No, Invincible, the final episode of the first season hit, and it is lit. If any of you have not watched this fucking show, watch this damn show. Holy hell, man. Holy hell, did they do such a good job on this. I know I've been harking down on Devin's ass about watching Invincible for a while now, and okay, if you're into superhero stuff, watch it. If you're into animated stuff, watch it. If you're into animated hero stuff, watch it. Like, if you're into just gory blood fests on cartoon characters, fucking watch it. It's incredible. It's damn incredible, okay? And I will burn myself to the ground if people don't start fucking watching this damn show. Sledge, have you found an interest in this at all?
In what?
Invincible.
I don't even know what it is.
Dude, Sledge. Okay, so it is a animated show that is based off a comic book by Robert Kirkman, which is the creator of The Walking Dead. And and it is a story about a coming of age story about a superhero named Mark who is invincible. Like, he's a superhero, basically the son of Superman, and his father, who is basically Superman, is low-key kind of fucking skeezy, and it kind of is the story about him coming up as the new superhero and having to deal with, you know, having his father basically be Superman and how he's gonna fill his father's shoes. And and it's got some real fucked up shit in this show is not a kid's show. This is not a kid's show. Amazon. It's an Amazon Prime exclusive. Okay. Yep. And it is worth every damn second. The season finale ends on a note that just the entire episode felt like watching like the main act of Batman versus Superman like over and over again. It is the most like Avengers Endgame thing I've ever seen in a cartoon ever. It is incredible. It's incredible. Damn. They did such a good job.
Who's running the animation? Any idea?
I'm not actually exactly sure on that. What I can tell you is that Steven Yeun is the voice of Mark, the main character.
I love that dude.
Yeah. Oh, dude, incredible, man. And he does a great job in this show too. So it's a real good time. The episodes are not crazy long. They're not like a full hour. They, you know, and each one just goes by so quick. And I think it's like 8-9 episodes or something like that. You will burn through them easily in a matter of a few days. Like it's word. You're gonna get sucked in. It's so worth it. So yeah, audience at home, people listening at home, if you have not watched the show, please, for Christ's sake, watch this show. Devin,
do it. He said it like 7 times at this point.
Oh my god, watch this damn show. Devin this damn show. Okay,
I'm on episode 5.
Okay, I'm watching. Okay, that's what I like. Finish this damn show. Yeah. As far as anything else really that I would want to talk about, me and Devin played First Class Trouble the other night, which is also kind of a Among Us sort of gameplay style. Like the thing that you mentioned, Sledge, earlier. You said it was Goose Goose Duck. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay, yep, cool. Yeah. So something that's reminiscent of sort of that gameplay style where you're sort of like running tasks and you have to find out who's killing everybody, so on and so forth. It was a really fun game, and we played that for a couple of hours, and me and Devin had a real fucking good time on that. I'm actually kind of itching to play it again for another night, just to kind of like get more of a full experience on it, because I suck ass at it. I kept dying, like first person to die, like every single fucking time, even if I was the personoid, which is the killer in the fucking game.
Imposter, right?
They would find me out within minutes of starting. It's I have yet to actually have a full-on chance to like really play the game as a personoid, and so I'm itching to play a little bit, but I have to catch up on Resident Evil 7 first. But
That that reminds me, when you say you die first, I stopped having to stream that game because it'd be like I have a pixel plague night with the content creators, or I play with the community, and every single time it's like, who's the factor of a person we know here? It's Sledge. So I would call out on shit that was like mind-blowing. I have like killer games be like, oh, we're going to F them up. We're going to F them up. And then literally we get to the table and there's no one dead. And they're like, I saw a Sledge go through event. I'm like, I look over my chat and they're like, what are they talking about? You didn't go through event. I'm like, I literally didn't go through event. And they're like, it's him. And I would just get voted off and I'd die.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm like, you were right. I was a killer. I'm like, but I didn't even do that. I'm like, you just made that up. They're like, oh my God, my bad. I'm like, no, I'm done.
Oh
with this
my
game.
God.
I'm
my
like,
God.
I die every time. Like, my chat was like, this is an ongoing, like, joke to a point where I'm like, if I'm playing and I get voted off in the beginning every single time, I'm quitting. I'm done.
Yeah.
And they're like,
yeah,
all right, all right. It was pretty funny though.
Dude, that reminds me of Tim the Tap Man trying to get a crowd in Fall Guys for the first like week, dude. Like that, like that just people so just funny. Trolling to troll. It was so great, dude. What an event, man. That sucks, dude, because that totally might have like kind of passively ruined your Among Us experience.
It did ruin the game because I'm not kidding you. I would like tell the 100% truth when they asked me. I'd be like, yeah, I was over here. You know, I fake tasked. Like, I went and did this task and then I like bumped across this person and someone was like, no, you were definitely up top right. And I'm like, I literally said I'm top left. And someone's like, oh, I saw him up there too. I'm like, I look over the chat and they're like, what are they talking about? And we would go back to the VOD and I'd be like, here's me and what I did. I'm like, where did you get top right? And they're like, oh, I really thought you were up there. I'm like, I have the worst luck for this game, dude.
I actually had the same experience where I was in a Discord server with people I know and like some of their mutual friends, and same exact experience. I literally left the Discord server because every single time.
You're like, fuck y'all, bro. Fuck y'all.
Killed, like, right in the beginning, every single time. So I was like, I'm not playing this anymore with these people.
Shit. He deleted it. He deleted
it. I did.
You went and bought, like, an Among Us, like, stuffed toy so he could burn it in a garbage can. Like, you, like Ace Ventura.
Upload to Discord here.
yeah. Sends it to each one of them in a private message on Facebook. His ass naked in the shower, burning an Among Us stuffed animal in a fucking trash can.
This
in there. Like,
it's all your fault. Like, damn.
I fucking love it, dude. Devin, I'm sorry that hit you so hard, man.
It did. I can relate with that. It hurts.
Wait, were you in the games too? Or no? It was a different group.
It was
different group. Yeah, yeah, different group. Different group. Yeah, no,
I didn't realize it was that bad when you laughed. It's like, oh, that was a really
No, I only played Among Us on mobile, and so I didn't really like dive into like the voice chat stuff so that they could hear me lie really bad, and so
right. Yeah, no, that's the other part, the other game, not to go back on that. The Goose Goose Duck, with it being in game, you don't have to worry, because sometimes people forget to mute their mics and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I'm gonna jump in this vent, and everyone's like, you're the killer. They're like, oh, it just mutes you automatically in the game, so you don't have to worry about that shit.
Oh,
you know?
Nice.
So
it's cool. Nice. Yeah. Is it like a push to talk system, or is it like a?
I think it's just open. I mean, you can probably do a push to talk option, but I don't think you can even talk in the game. Like when you use your in-game mic, it just disables everyone's mics. So they just like put all those features into it. Yeah. So they definitely did better. I think focusing on things that Among Us like didn't. I don't know. They're like too focused on map making, and then there's other glitches that happen. Like literally, I've killed a dude. I chased him and he hit the button and I killed him. And everyone was like, whoa, what happened? And the person that put the report in couldn't report because he was dead. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, and then the dead person's like, well, I was just killed at the table as I pushed the button, I guess. So like, I can't talk. And everyone was like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. So they had too many bugs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't experience it that way, because that sounds like a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds like a real bad experience. But we're here to actually now talk about some good experiences, because our next and final segment of the night is here, dedicated to our man Sledge right here.
I'm new here.
Yeah. Hey. What's happening?
Welcome. How you doing? I'm really nervous.
Yeah, I know. Okay, it's okay to be nervous. It's okay to be nervous.
Yeah,
you know,
it's all right, man. It's all
right. I'm sweating. You guys can't see it.
We're not. I want to see it. I want to see it. I'm on my A game tonight, boys. Let's fucking go. Sledge, dude, you have been working on Virus now for a long time, and you plan on working on it for even longer. I want to start out by introducing you to the audience a little bit. Could you have our viewers and listeners at home kind of get a chance to hear who you are, what you're about, and give us a quick little, you know, 5-minute biography of you real quick?
All right. So it started when my parents fell in love. Okay. So
Yeah.
My name's Sledge315. Most people just call me Sledge. We don't put the 315 in there. My real name's Seth Tyler. I say that out, but sometimes people freak out about it. So there it is on the table. I have a background in graphic design. I got into it in, you know, late high school yearbook club because the girlfriend I was with at the time was like, I need help. I'm like, all right. And then I just got addicted to it. So that's kind of like the bare bones of me and what I become today, 10 years later. And in regards to Virus, this is my second clothing brand, which we'll talk about a little bit later, but basically it's all around graphic design. I like the idea of just designing stuff, putting it on t-shirts, and I've also found myself involved with overlays for Twitch streamers and things like that. So I stream myself full time, about 3 to 4 times a week now on schedule. I've been doing that for 4 years now, coming up in June, which is pretty wild to think about. And, it's a good time. It's a lot of fun. So That's basically the rundown from upstate New York. 27, soon to be 28, but we don't like to talk about that because, you know, the wrinkles keep getting there and more white hair show. But, you know, we're rocking, we're living the dream, and we're living like we're 20, you know? So that's it.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it to you, dude. Yeah. Yeah, that's good, man. That's sick. So, let's start with this. So, Virus is very much sort of like your pride and joy here. And so, I want to kind of like loosely get started with talking about that to start out here. How long has Virus technically been around for?
September 2018 is when we started. I want to say it was September, but we were hyping up in like August, and it probably could have had more time for the hype, but at the time it started with just a t-shirt and a hat, you know, $300 budget, and stuff sold out. I would say like within a month, because I was streaming at the time. It was like my 2 year of, you know, being in a streaming universe here. So I pushed it towards, you know, the audience, and they're like, cool, like gaming brand. So t-shirt, hat, and then we started to expand from there. So I guess we're pushing up on our third year now. We're, you know, started third year or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yep.
Now, Devin, I know that you wanted to ask him a couple of things too. You want to sling one at him real quick?
Yeah. I mean, do you have like any huge like plans or anything big coming on for Virus Co. here in the future? Like anything that you're working on really hard right now?
Yeah. I actually can, you guys got lucky because we actually just made the announcement. I can say this now comfortably, because it was really, really under the tape, you know, under wraps, and we were doing contract stuff. And we obviously do streetwear gaming. I probably should have expanded on that for anyone listening. It's an apparel brand. We have content creators and an esports team, but it started as a gaming apparel brand, more so streetwear. And we've been able to do more of that now than when we did in the beginning. It was just a hat and a t-shirt. I mean, that's not really streetwear to me, but now we're like getting the jackets and we're getting the custom patches and things like that. But yeah, so we've expanded upon a large collaboration. Someone reached out and they were like, hey, I see what you're doing in the business. It's looking really good. And it's not like our logo is going to be on the apparel, but basically we're hosting them and we're designing all the stuff for them. And it's going to be on our website. The name of the streamer is Ham and Cheddar, and not everyone's going to know that name, but go check him out. He just blew up like out of nowhere. If you guys know the name Pay Money Wubby, he's a moderator for him. He's very tight with him. Like, he's actually been looking at some of the designs that I've been whipping up and taking a look at them. He's big on YouTube, and Ham has been a mod for him for a while. And no way did I don't think that Pay Money like boosted him. I really genuinely think that Ham and Cheddar did it on his own, and he's blown himself up to, you know, a crazy extent. And he does game shows. You guys should check him out. I've been on a few of them. They're hilarious. He runs.
He
blindfolds himself. Listen up. He blindfolds himself. He has cameras all around his house. He's got a camera on his chest, and you have to direct him to find stuff around his house, but he doesn't know what he's grabbing.
Dude,
and the viewers get to donate to him to distract. It'll like make loud noises in both your headsets, the person guiding him and Ham and Cheddar. And like, he has like 10, he had Pay Money Wubby on, he had Alex on, he had Atomic Twins, I think that's what their name is. I think he had Code Miko. He had a bunch of big names on there. He's just killing it. So anyways, he reached out to us, and so we're going to be doing a collaboration. He announced it literally like 2 days ago, and I didn't know he's going to do that. He was like, hey, do you mind? He's like, can I show him stuff? I'm like, maybe we don't show them what we're working on, but maybe you just tell them that that's what's happening. So he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. So he announced it, and that's like the big thing that we're working on right now. I'd say, alongside our quarterly drops that we do for apparel. Mm-hmm. And there's a few other things too that are underway that I can't actually say about, but more contract related stuff. We did pick up an ex FaZe Clan C9 Call of Duty Pro, Dito. He played a lot of, I think it was Call of Duty Ghost 2 and maybe 3. And mm-hmm. he jumped on a little bit of the World War. Was it World at War? What was the newest
World at War?
Okay,
so I don't think that's the newest one.
Cold War.
Not Cold War. This is years back.
World War II.
That's what it is. Yep. Dude, it's okay. Mess
with those. War. Duty War.
Call to the War.
Matt Booty.
God. Call of Duty. Call of Booty. Mr. Booty, where at? So that's like the biggest one, and he's been killing it. I'm like really excited for it, and he's been awesome. His team's been awesome, and we've just been collaborating, and I'm excited for it. People are asking, what's the drop date, and I'm like, I don't really have one until we get into production because we're still in the design portion of it. But that's all I got in terms of that. But yeah, that's some of the big stuff
for sure, man. Did you have any like bigger plans as far as like goals in like the far future of like what you want Virus to become or be? Have you ever even had your head in the clouds at that point? Or
One of the models that I follow along with pretty heavy is 100 Thieves. I feel like out of all the esports teams out there right now, I feel like they're the ones that are making the right moves for their future. Mm-hmm. And I know that we can be like FaZe Clan's a dope brand and stuff like that, but sometimes I feel like they kind of come off a little bit like they got a chip on their shoulder, and I don't get that from 100 Thieves. I feel like they've got a group of genuine content creators. And I don't know if you guys knew this. I actually found this out, and I think that this is probably a little bit wrong, but FaZe Clan is like strictly men. Like there's like only like a few women on that team now. And mm-hmm. they just started doing that recently. So I'm just like, it seems so like exclusive. Like they have like this motive to it, and it's no mm-hmm. shit on them or anything. But basically when you're modeling your business, like who do you want to be, you know? Thieves, they're just killing it. They have an awesome, building, and they're like showcasing all that stuff. And they're not really showboating like houses and stuff. And I feel like a lot of the other teams are like, look at this team house we have. And I'm like, that's great, but like that's for you to live in. That doesn't really help your consumers and people that are like trying to pick your stuff up. Mm-hmm. So esports, I want that to be something of the future. Obviously, we have Valorant right now, and they're doing pretty good. And that's still in the beginnings, like we haven't even gotten the foundation. Once we win a tournament or two, we can get our name on the maps a little bit more. In terms of the apparel, the ultimate goal, you ask, where do you see yourself? If you ever get yourself in the clouds, it's like there's, when you think of sports, right? Like actual physical sports, there's brands that are attached, right? Your Adidas, mm-hmm. your Nike, your Puma, right?
Yep.
I want Virus to be that for esports. You know what I mean? Be like mm-hmm. esports wear, the official, brand. So I don't want it to be cheesy, like, I'm a gamer god, and that's, like, what the shirt says. That's stupid. Like, I want it to be, like, cool stuff, And yeah. because we all know there's gaming brands out there that do that, and they somehow make sales, and they got a mushroom that says 1UP, and people are like, this is sick. I'm like, no, it's not. That's from a game. That's just, like, it's a fan-made shirt. It's not even something even thought of. I just want it to be like that in terms of the bigger picture. I want it to be a well-known name, and we're getting there. And the more creators we got on the team, repping the brand Virus, the better off we are. And big thanks to them, because it's not something you can do on your own. And you respect the creators you pick up, and all the work they put in, it definitely goes a ways. We've went from like this to like this in terms of growth. For anyone that's listening, I'm mm-hmm. literally doing a chart here. It was mm-hmm. kind of like, steady growth compared to spiked. And it's because these creators that we pick up are just so awesome. They push the brand. They believe in it just as much as I do. So that's the big picture.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. I've been following you now since I think like the beginning of 2019, maybe. Yeah,
you just had about the first hoodie.
Yeah,
right.
I got the first hoodie. Logo.
Mm-hmm. And you've seen the changes then, in terms of like the designs and all that stuff. Yeah,
your growth has been out of this world, and it's been awesome to see you guys be from where you were to where you are now. And it's like, I remember going to you guys' website for the first time, because I think I just stumbled across you guys because of someone retweeting a tweet of the Virus page at one point or another. And I think it was Subsume.
Were you following her or something?
Yeah,
like
I think I was following her. I think I was following her, and then she retweeted a post about Virus, and I was like, I need to check that out because that looks sick. And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, that is hype. That is super hype. Yeah. And ever since then, just seeing the amount of people talking about you guys just increasing every month, just every month, more and more people coming in. It's been nuts. I'm super fucking stoked for you, dude.
Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot because a lot goes into it. And it's not just me, and I don't put credit on myself. I had a meeting today and I just like, I appreciate the people on the team. You know, I got a guy that does the blog work. He does like a bunch of research on product, equipment, games, writes reviews. Granted, right now he's not doing too hot. He's a little sick. So he's holding tight. I'm like, you need to just like chill, you know. Sabsame, she's been with me since the beginning. She's family to me though. She's my brother's girlfriend. So I'm really close with her. Yeah, and she's a big driving force for the brand too because she's got a great following. She does awesome on Twitch. She's killing it right now. She just started that up. And then, like I said, Fluffy was in the chat earlier. He's the esports guy and on that side. And I have another guy that does design with me. So we've got a really, really awesome team. Two of them are technically part-time, and the other ones are freelance where I just, like, pay them per bid type of thing. And it's not just a me thing because it would be literally impossible unless, like, there was two of me. And if cloning ever happens, please, Elon Musk or whoever is in charge, hit me up so I can do that.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It's a lot, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful, and I appreciate you guys respecting it as you do.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Devin, yeah. You got anything for us for him?
Dude, I was just going through, you know, your products and stuff on your website, and have you ever thought of doing, like, shoes before?
No, believe me, it's definitely on the notepad. It's more about where do you get something made and do it right. Because the biggest concern isn't necessarily getting it made. It's more like, if I'm going to do this, I got to do this. Because I've seen brands do it like, oh, drop the shoe. And then you look at it and you're like, you shouldn't have dropped that shoe. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Shoes are a tough thing, man. As a shoe hype beast, my fucking self, because I
see them.
I've talked to Devin about my shoe problem before. People can be real picky about their fucking shoe games, and it's, you know, I get your hesitation for it for sure. And when you do, let me know, because I am definitely fucking buy the shit out of those, my guy. I'll tell you that right now.
Ask you for some freaking insight. Who knows? You know, it's important because it's definitely not my forte. Like, I've always been involved in just apparel, tops, hats. So stuff like that. We did joggers before. They did pretty well. And we got some stuff coming up for the summer drop. I can't really say what yet, but it's not tops, you know. It's a little bit different. And we're breaching into it. I want to be careful not to confuse people though, because they're like, you should make belts, and I'm like, I'm not gonna make belts. Like, that's
they give
me weird suggestions, and I hate to shoot them down. But I'm like, think streetwear. Like, go online and type streetwear. What are you getting? You know. So you got to be careful with it. People are like, you should make a dress. I'm like, on what planet would I make a dress? You know, like, no offense, but like, on what planet would I make a dress for this? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
You're not gonna make any like trip pants. Let's talk trip pants, boys.
You know what I mean? Are they
trip pants? Yo, do you remember
fanny
those?
Packs are dope.
I don't know what maybe I do. I just don't know the name.
Trip pants. So T-R-I-P-P. The like old school kids, like when we were in high school, like the goth kids back in high school had like the big baggy pants with like all the Hot Topic pants. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure. I just didn't see, like, I didn't know the term, because like I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't know what those are. But it's funny because tech wear is kind of like that, except more stylish and fitted, right? Those chains, I never understood. I'm like, holy shit, man. And the other thing was the pants were like, feel like walking through the hallway like a fucking Minecraft character's legs, because they were like so fucking big, so for sure
yeah. It's Xander says male rompers in the chat, and I might have to fuck with that, dude. You do like a thick boy size men's romper, I'll do a photo shoot that for you. You know what I mean,
man? Actually, speaking of like sex catered, because we're unisex right now, we've done that crop top windbreaker, which did very well for the female audience. Because I don't, you know, like, it's not like I'm trying not to do it. It's just more like, what can I do that everyone can wear right now? Because we're small, you know, we're not like huge, huge. But down the road, I've already been thinking about like women catered fits, you know. So because there's, you know, sometimes there's concerns like, this shirt's not going to fit me as well as it fit a guy, you know. Our build structures are completely different, so. And same with the joggers, you know, like chicks were buying them and they're like, oh, like it didn't fit. And I'm like, why did they think about it? But like, yeah, you guys have bigger hips than I would. So yeah, you're going to have some issues, you know.
Romper calendar shoot, a virus calendar shoot.
Dude, yo, Sledge. Sledge, can we please just get you in like a virus, like branded firefighter suit calendar spread? Like, can we get this? Dude, what do we have to do here at Good Kraken to make this fucking happen, man?
Yo, give me a slice of that pizza you guys were going to split earlier.
Hey, you know I got you, baby. You know I got you. Now that means Devin has has to lose his bet about Kojima, but
it all rides on this bet.
Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Devin.
I did have one more question for you.
Hit him.
I know this is like usually the case for most, you know, graphic designers and clothing, you know, brands before they start. Did you ever do like a lot of design work for like bands or like local bands or anything like that in your area?
Yeah, I can go on a long rant about this because it's actually a pretty big chunk of like my history. Like I started, like I said, in a year bar club, and I was in a band at that time. It was a metalcore band, and it was my first band, and I was a drummer for it. And I had the, you know, art skill, and I could draw, and I was drawing shit on pieces of paper because I didn't know what I was doing. Like, how can I like scan this in, put it on the computer, and then like I guess clean it up? And like my buddies are like, that is not how you do that, you know? And the guy. This 10 years back, you know, I was a freaking 17-year-old kid. He was a few years older. I went to his house and he showed me the ropes. And he works for Virus now. He's the guy that does half the designs. And it's funny enough that we stuck together all this time. He was in a band called Thoughts in Reverse in Syracuse. And they had a pretty good name in the local area. But besides the point, so I did a lot of merch for smaller bands, not like some of the bigger ones in the area, just because, you know, they already had their connections, right?
Yeah.
And so I was winging it with the art stuff. It was like, I'll make a shirt. I can do a photo shoot. It was like, whatever I can do, because I ended up becoming a freelancer, and that's what I still do today. And you kind of get in the knack of it. And it's funny because like all these things lined up perfectly back then that are still in it now. So the guy that I do all my print work with, and like he does these hats, he like was open to do like the sew-on patch idea, is the guy that I worked with 10 years ago in my first band, you know? And he had like this one screen print set up and like this rented property, and he's like, hey, what's up? I'm like, I don't know who the hell this dude is. His name's Drew. He's like one of my closest friends now. And it's just like, he's like, yeah, we can do like this, man. I'm like, sweet, we got like 10 shirts, you know? You're like, we can sell these at our show. And I just kept expanding and it kept getting bigger. And then I would come back, or I would send new clients to him like, hey, you know, this band needs, you know, 25 shirts made up. And then I went back to him in my second band that I was in, and we did work with him. And then my brother and me started a company called Cursed Apparel, which was a streetwear brand with no targeted niche, which was a big mistake. That was like what I learned was, we were just like, we're a streetwear brand. It's like we were trying to be supreme without any level of influence power, you know? So I had the background, so the designs were pretty cool, but I still wasn't fully developed in graphic design at that point. I was like 21, 22 at this point. And so that brand did pretty good. We got some pretty strong influence. We had a kid that was already off Disney. He had like a million Instagram followers, and he hit us up out of nowhere and was like, can I wear your stuff? We're like, yeah. And he wore it like all the time, but he never tagged us. And that was the part that hurt. And you learn though, you learn. And it was learning. Yeah. And it was cool because people still recognized the brand and they saw it and they could read what it said on the shirts and stuff.
Right.
But he was never shouting us out. You know what I mean? And that was kind of the trade off. And now it's like when I send someone something, I'm like, it's either a paid opportunity or I'm like, you just need to tag us. If it goes well, obviously you keep the hat or the shirt we gave you. But if it works well for the future, then we'll hook you up with some cash to post, because the last one did well. And that's what I typically am handling. But I guess to answer the question, the music side definitely helped get me to where I am now. And it's funny because some of our stuff kind of has Banty influences, like our late night collection. A lot of that feels band merchy. And it's funny because Scott he excels at that stuff. And he's the one that did like all of that drop. He handled the whole entire thing. I oversaw it and was like, yeah, that's dope, 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 dope. And I'm like, you could definitely see this either Zoomies or like a Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Compared to maybe this recent drop, you probably wouldn't as much. So yeah, a lot of influence through music. And that's why I'm such a sucker for it too.
Yeah. You know? I mean, we're all metalcore nerds, so.
Right. Three of us, man. All three of us. Well, it's actually funny that your story kind of lines up that way, because me and Devin kind of have the almost exactly the same background. Like, me and Devin met when I was starting an old local band here in the Portland area called When the Lights Go Out. And he was our first, like real guitarist that we had in the band. And so me and Devin, and that was 12 years ago, Devin?
Oof. I think 10 years ago, like 10 years.
Yeah,
ago.
about 9-10 years ago. And that's how me and Devin originally met. And we've known each other in passing all this time. We both have gone different directions with music and so on and so forth. And now here we are starting a podcast together. And it's cool because now, like, me and Devin have talked a whole lot about business models and so on and so forth for Good Kraken. And a lot of our background in being in the music world has helped us sort of reflect on how we want to run Good Kraken.
Right.
It's dope how you can take those lessons with you going into something like this, you know?
Right. And when you're young and you're a kid, I don't know when you guys first got into music, but I was like 16 when I first got into my first band. You learn how to manage at a young age. Oh, yeah. Not everyone gets that experience because they don't teach that shit in school. Not high school, anyways.
And hell no, they don't.
You know? And we've had our experiences, and you guys probably have too, where you're selling tickets, you're getting a dollar per at a venue. Yeah. And I'll never forget, I had one of my guys, and it was like the last straw with this band because he lost like 10 sales worth of tickets, which is like those tickets were $18 a piece. And it's like, you know, the venue's like, where's the money? And I had to literally go out of my pocket and be like, here's $200 because my fucking boy fucked up. And like, we were tight, but you know, I'm just like, dude, you can't do that. And it was like, someone always had to take the wheel in a band.
Yeah.
And it's rare to find more than one person in that band. And when you do, man, you're winning because everyone's on top of their shit, you know? Yeah. But you don't find that in high school typically. Usually it's like, I want to hang out with my girlfriend and, you know, drive over here and go to the movies. I don't want to be at practice. So you got to get lucky to a degree as well.
There's a lot
of sure, matches in the business world.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. So I actually have one more question that I want to sling your way too. Do you have any sort of like direct connection on being Asian American and connecting that into you like starting Virus and wanting to get into streetwear? Because streetwear is a really big thing when it comes to Asian culture. And like, does that sort of like inspire you to want to move in that direction? Or
I want to know what? I don't actually know how we got into streetwear. I almost feel like my brother put me onto it. So it would almost be like, I had to ask him on it, because when we started Curse Apparel, it was like streetwear. Because I think we just were like, we sat down and we're like, we don't want to just make apparel tees. We don't want it to just be like, skull that says cursed. And then it's just on everything over and over and over reiterated. We were like, we want to come up with like really custom, cool sleeve print, cool location printing. He must have like gotten to like Bape or something back then, or Supreme, and then just kind of got rolling on it. And then in my habits, I'm like, you get away with more in this than you would apparel, where it's just almost like merchandising, like Sledge 315, and then on the back says Sledge 315. Like, we got more creative. So no, not really, but a lot of our stuff, I mean, like even on this patch right here, there's Japanese on here, because of my mom, the background in that. I know obviously there's some brands out there that are like, let's put, you know, like Korean or Japanese on there, and like, it means dragon, and it really means like river
mushroom.
Yeah, like, it doesn't mean anything. So like with my mom, it's nice because I'm like, hey, is that right? And for me, like, I put like an American flag and a Japanese flag on one of our drops, on one of the hoodies and the button-ups, and people are like, oh, it's really cool, like incorporated. I'm like, well, it's part of me, like, so I want that to be incorporated into my brand in one way or another without screaming, this is my brand, like, it's got like my background in it, right? Because there's got to be some level of pride. And I think that's cool to attach rather than just, you know, Virus America, New York, you know? So the derivative's there, but I don't think that it ever was because of that. But yeah, you're right. Like, you go on to Pinterest, where I do a lot of my like creative explorations, and there's a lot of that going on. Korean, Japanese, some Chinese is on there too. But, you know, and the people wearing it is the same thing, and they make it look dope. I'm like, man, I got to make my stuff look more dope because these guys are making it look like insane. And that's tech wear to a degree as well. The pants that they're wearing are like pretty darn crazy right now. So,
Devin, I see you.
Yeah,
gonna hop in on one. I saw you. You looking?
I was just agreeing with him.
Yeah. You're thinking about Matt Booty too, huh? I can't stop thinking about him. I can't Matt stop Booty. Thinking about the booty, dude. I can't stop Matt thinking Booty about it. Yeah, dude, forever. Matt Booty is gonna be haunting my dreams for the rest of my days. Now that I'm like cognizant of like of the fact that he is the like one of the top-notch dudes in Xbox, it's I've seen the name before. I've seen the booty before.
Mr. and Mrs. Booty and their son Booty.
Oh, Booty.
That's drawn up.
David Booty, you know what I mean, his son
Richard Booty,
Dick Booty. That's where we're going with this. This is awesome. I fucking love doing this show, man. This is great. Sledge,
Man, it's been go with this booty thing. I'm part of this phase.
Look, dog, like, we're all here for the booty all day long. You know what I mean? I'm always here for the booty. Let's fucking go. Sledge, I got one last actual kind of like slight question for you that I was thinking about. Who is your favorite band of all time?
Oh, shit. I was thinking about this one because this is tough. Because I was just on with Mikey last night of Savage Hands, and I was like, yo, what's your favorite band? And he said the same thing. You know, this is hard to answer. Because it's like, when you're a music guy, you're like so open to everything, you know, and there's like what sticks the most overall, you know. And I was sitting there thinking long and hard about it today, and One, when people ask me like, yo, what's your favorite band? I usually say one of these two bands is either Knuckle Puck or Gideon. Those are the two that I go to. Oh, okay?
Wow.
I know there's like completely different spectrums, but like,
no, if someone bangers,
like, what's
dude.
Your favorite pop punk band? I'm like, Knuckle Puck, duh. And they're like, yo, what's like metalcore, hardcore, whatever you want to call Gideon these days. Yeah. I'm like, Gideon. Something like, I'm more of a sucker for Gideon, I think. I feel like I'm not a huge guy for lyrics. I'm going to be completely honest with you. People are like, what about the lyrics? You don't even know the words. I'm like, I'm not going to lie. Writing music my entire life, I'm more about like how the lyrics land within the music than what they're actually fucking saying. Because sure. I don't want to ruin the music because they're over here talking about, you know, having sex and they're at parties. I'm like, that's just going to ruin the song for me. So I'm just, you know, if I get them, I pick them up, I pick them up. But the writing style has remained, in my opinion, pretty darn consistent over the years for the most part. I feel like they've definitely developed because they had an empty sound in the beginning. It was very just like chuggy, dumpy. And they didn't really understand like leads as well as I feel like they do now and like how to really make their productions hit. Seen them live and they're awesome. And I mean, literally since the Cost album. So I'm just like, I have no complaints about those guys. Their latest album hit really hard. The only one that was a little iffy for me, I think was it called Calloused? I think it was like the white one with nails on it. That was the only one that was like, I was like, oh no, what's happening in this band?
I'm sorry. I just read in Sanders' thing in the chat that says hashtag Dick Booty for Prez.
He's like, you dude, you got fucked into this, dude.
Oh my god, this is great. Anyways, I'm sorry. Continue.
I thought you were laughing about. I was like, there must be something funny about this album. And then you're like, oh, you had like the booty in chat. Get the booty in chat.
I have that record. Actually,
on Calloused or
yeah, dude, I'm actually a huge Gideon fan myself. Okay, you know, Gideon, Ghost Inside, For the Fallen Dreams, you fucking name it, Misery Signal, right. That's all my shit. But that album particularly jumps so much in sound. It sounds like it was recorded like over like 3 years at like five different music studios.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, overall, I would say them. But I'll say another band that's like, it's tough because they've been around for what now? Like a decade, maybe? This other band's actually been around for longer, I think, but they weren't fucking known, and it's Crystal Lake.
Dude, they've been around for a fucking minute, and no one ever gave them credit. Yeah.
Because they didn't have the same, Ryu just jumped in not too long back, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really think that he's the guy that kind of turned that key and pushed that fucking vehicle because they all had the talent, but I don't think that they coordinated well. And ever since, they've been dropping music videos like on every song. And their production value is insane. Their music's insane. Their writing style is nuts. And he's an animal. He kind of reminds me of the vocalist of Ghost Inside. I don't know if you hear that.
Oh, yeah. They're both consistently good at what they do live, like spot on live. But to talk about Crystal Lake, though, his voice is so dynamic and his range is out of this fucking world. I never understood it. Like coming from like what they used to sound like just two albums ago compared to what they sound like now, like night and day fucking difference. Like he was even back then just kind of doing like writing that hardcore style sort of like vocal pattern. And they put out that like that metal version cover of like a Roland by Limp Bizkit or whatever.
And that's how I thought originally.
Hype ass cover. They fucking killed it. And ever since then, man, he's just expanding more and more. Their instrumentals are fucking amazing. Right. Their production is amazing. They do not get enough credit for how long they've been in the game.
No.
Speaking of Crystal Lake, probably one of the best live bands I've ever seen.
You seen them before?
Yeah, I saw them.
They came. Were you at the show?
North Lane and Era.
Who else was there? North Lane and Era, you said?
And Currents.
Yep.
Oh my Currents. God. Yeah. Dude, I was really just talking about Currents because they're on the same label and Savage Hands on the label. So I'm like, yo, what was it like touring with Currents? He's like, unfortunately, we're a little softer. So he's like, you know, the audience wasn't as resonant. But yeah,
crazy. Those dudes are really tight. I actually kicked it with them and I know their bassist, Chris, and their drummer, Matt.
Which band are we talking? Currents?
Currents, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, those guys are really fucking cool. They're all chill, down to earth dudes. They play Ibanez. I play Ibanez. It's like
I heard they're really nice dudes.
They're also a phenomenal band. Their guitarist Brian is also the guitarist. What is the band? Not Slaughter to Prevail, but he shreds in so many other heavy bands too. I'd have to look it up again.
Is he in like Brand of Sacrifice or?
I think so, actually. Yeah.
I think it's okay. Because I've seen some people sort of like have a correlation between the two. Have you listened to Brand of Sacrifice, Sledge?
I haven't actually.
Oh, you need to check out Eclipse by Brand of Sacrifice. That homeboy vocalist in there used to be in a really like pretty basic post hardcore band, and now is just straight deathcore, just going in there fucking it up. Go. But he is a half black, half Samoan man, if I remember correctly. That's so he's rocking some of that that Pacific Island love, and it's. They're killing it. Their entire band's sound and like title names and album concepts are based off of anime. And so he So Brand of Sacrifice specifically, I believe was from Bleach. I think it's from Bleach. Someone in chat, correct me if you're an anime nerd too, but I think Brand of Sacrifice was from a specific anime that he concepted the entire first album for.
Okay.
Super fucking sick. Check out Eclipse. Really cool. Their song Eclipse. It's so good. So good.
Going back to like Crystal Lake, and I mean, obviously the topic of AAPI and stuff, you know, I think that it was really cool that this band came out of Japan and they're pushing their name, because honestly, there's not a shit ton of bands that are getting a lot of light out that way.
No,
at least not in this genre, you know. And I mean, unless you're talking OGs like Respect and Maximum the Hormone, I love those dudes. Made a name for themselves a long time, you know. And I mean, like Baby Metal as well. But I mean, and you talk about percentage wise, it's like minimal. Mm-hmm. It's like almost non-existent, you know. Yep. So I think that it's really cool that they got their light. I don't know. I respect the fuck out of them. The music video production is crazy, and what they put together in the last, I don't know, 2 to 3 years has just been through the roof. Another band, you guys ever heard of Pale Dusk?
I've heard the name. I have not listened. I've seen the name.
You need to fucking listen to them. I don't push a band any harder than those guys. The only reason I don't like boast about them like crazy is because they're not a long, like, I don't know how long they've been around. So it's kind of tough for me to gauge, but their writing just keeps getting better.
Okay.
Pale Dusk. It's all over the place. Compositional wise, you'll be like, what the heck? So yeah, that's cool. So. Good music talks to you. I could talk about for hours.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. Right. All three of us could do an entire podcast about our fucking music easily. Stuff, man. This is great. But what I wanted. Yeah, I know. Right. We might have to rock around with that. But the last thing I want to kind of like ask you to end out on the show here is what is the next upcoming game that you're most excited about?
Oh, it was Pokemon Snap until it just came out. Damn, I don't know. This is tough because games come out like crazy and I can't keep up. I'm not going to lie. I don't even know if I have one on my list because, like, I just get more excited about game updates because sometimes these games they drop, like, I'm a big Rainbow Six guy.
Yeah.
So, like, I get excited for new operator releases more than an entire title release because I'm like, oh, do I want to pick up a new game today and play? Or if I do, it usually is because other people suggested that I do so and it's a few years old.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if I really actually have an answer. I'm like in my head, like, trying to think, and I'm like, I haven't even heard of a new announcement because I just don't pay enough attention.
Yo, Sledge, are you going to get me back on the Rainbow Six Siege type train?
100%.
Man? Like, are you going to get me back on that? Yeah, because 100%. I spend entirely too much time playing that fucking game.
It's like my biggest, I would say, audience-driven game on Twitch is Rainbow Six. I have a good history with it. I just hit plat for the first time ever, though. Solo queue.
Yeah, like, I saw that, dude. Like, sick. Yeah.
And then I tanked. I went down to like gold 2 the next day. I was like,
that's
God
okay.
Damn,
that's okay.
It.
That's all right.
It's all right. Yeah, no, but I love that game. I wish that it did better or does better, but, you know, these other games are beating them out.
New game mode coming out. The, was it the,
that like zombie thing.
Yeah, quarantine.
Cold quarantine.
Yeah. They just recently changed the name. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head.
Oh, Outbreak.
I think
now?
So. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you go back, they don't have a VR. So it's like their popularity isn't as doing as good. It's weird. It's like people don't want to watch that as much anymore, which is kind of sad, you know.
Call back to the Halo conversation.
Right. Literally, yeah, that's why I was tying it in. It's like you almost wonder if they're going to do something for the sake of longevity more than the initial impact.
Right, right. Well, I'm sure like when they drop a new title of some sort, when Rainbow Six Outbreak Quarantine Matt Booty comes out, it'll be, you know, it'll I know booty gang that'll get people back on the Rainbow Six hype train, you know, and I'll definitely be there to fucking see that too, man. Sledge, do you have anything you want to end us out on, anything that you want to plug, that you want to hit people with? Where can people find you?
Sledge315 everywhere. Sledge315 on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, of course. I wouldn't even say TikTok. I barely use it, but if you want to, because you're into it and you want to watch my old stuff, go for it. And then the main thing right now that I am pushing is Virus Co. It's, if for anyone listening, it's VYRUS, not VI. So VYRUS Co. And that's where you'd find us anywhere. So that's our YouTube's actually under construction. So not that, but Twitter, Instagram. We do have a Discord server if you want to jump into that, as well as a Twitch. We do broadcasting for the esports side. So those are the places that you can catch us. My streams are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. And then other than that, I think we're chilling.
Sick, oh, yeah. Dude. Devin, you got anything else for our man?
Oh, dude, it was a pleasure to meet you. Really cool to hear about all the big things you're doing. I love your gear. Hopefully I can hop on one of the next drops here soon.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
And yeah, dude, it's awesome hearing your story and hearing how you got into it.
Definitely. I appreciate being on, guys. Seriously, it means a lot. I always get excited when I get invited. I'm like, yes! More social time. I need this.
Yeah, dude. Worked out. I'm so fucking hyped to have you on, dude. It's great. I've been following you for a while now. I'm stoked to have you. I'm stoked to eventually have you on again, dude. Like, once you guys start making more moves and stuff, we will have you on again for sure, man.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, everyone at home, this has been the Good Kraken Podcast, a show for nerdy, marginalized peoples, giving you the video game and pop media news, reviews, and discussions that you want to hear live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 1 p.m. right here on twitch.tv/goodkrakenshow. If you enjoyed the show, you can support us by subscribing below, going to our YouTube channel by clicking the link in the About section of our Twitch channel and clicking that bell and big red button, or by subscribing to our podcast channel by searching Good Kraken with an exclamation mark and leaving a review there. But until next time, Booty Gang, y'all. Matt Booty.
Booty Gang. Booty, booty.
Booty gang. Booty gang, booty.
Gang, gang.
Gang, gang.